The following program originally aired in 2008.
Hi, I'm Marion McPartland, and my guest today is Bobby Broom, guitarist and composer for All Seasons. His love of jazz flows through his fingers and resonates on his six strings. The guitar is a perfect outlet for his artistic sensibilities and his amazing music. Altogether an amazing guy, I would say. How are you, Bobby?
I'm fine, Marion. How are you?
I'm feeling all the better for seeing you sitting here opposite me, and we're going to chat a little bit. I didn't know you lived in Chicago.
Yes, it's been for quite some time now. I left New York in about 1984 and moved to the Midwest.
From some part of Harlem where you were born.
Yeah, I was born on, I grew up on 135th Street and Lenox Avenue in the Lenox Terrace Apartments for the first 7 years of my life. And then my family moved to the Upper West Side. So I spent my growing years there by Central Park on Columbus Avenue and 95th Street. It was a great place to grow up.
Yes, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Now you're in my second home, Chicago. Of course, my husband Jimmy was from Chicago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And, oh, he was part of a group called the Austin High Gang.
Trumpet player.
Yes, right? Trumpet player.
Yeah.
Bud Freeman, Davy Tuff, all those guys. So I love Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great city, very livable. Very much a hustling and bustling place, although, you know, nothing is quite like New York.
No.
But that's okay. As I've gotten older, I'm just finding that, I've done this New York thing, and it's in my blood. It runs very deep, but I don't need it.
What, New York, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've had that, so now you can sort of settle down and enjoy Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, enjoy life. And fortunately, I'm still very active musically. And I'm okay. I can get here on a plane in an hour and a half.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
If the plane is on time.
Yeah, right. How about that?
Well,
leave early.
All we have to do now is get into some music.
And, all right.
And, of course, we'll have our bass player, Gary Mazzarapi, play on this one. Your pleasure?
Let's do the Beatles song, Can't Buy Me Love.
Okay. I do too. And it seems to me the Beatles are having a great resurgence now.
Yeah, I read somewhere where one of them was saying in an interview that they aspired to be like a Rodgers and Hart or some kind of, like, they wanted to be a songwriting team originally and considered in that way. And I think that that will come to pass.
Well, it almost has.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
And some of those tunes will just Oz Forever, like yesterday.
Yeah, right.
I remember the first time I heard that on Ed Sullivan's show. I think it was the first time it was done in public.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to rush. In fact, I did rush to the piano and see if I could play it.
Yeah, I remember hearing the Beatles on the radio often, from Love Me Do to Maybe I'm Amazed. I mean, there was just such a long period of time from the 60s through the 70s that they were at the fore, and they were really part of my childhood and part of the reason why I was so into music, among other, hearing a lot of other things. I mean, I just listened to the radio regularly and intently, but I was just
How
really...
did you get started as a musician?
Well, I woke up one morning and I just said, Dad, can I get a guitar? And that was it. He bought me a guitar and a microphone. And I said, well, I didn't ask for a mic. Why'd you bring the mic and the stand and the whole thing? And he says, well, I don't know of too many guitar players that make it just playing guitar. So you better sing too, you know. So he got the whole outfit.
Your father really thought you were going to make it.
He didn't have much faith in me at that point as a guitar player, so he bought a mic. But... yeah, I just started taking folk lessons and eventually got introduced to jazz through a teacher, a guy that lived up in Harlem named Jimmy Carter. It wasn't until I started to hear things on the radio like Herbie Hancock's Headhunters.
Oh, that must have stopped
yes,
you up a bit.
It did. And Grover Washington Jr.'s Mr. Magic. Now, these were things that were contemporary to me. I could relate to the rhythm, to the beat, and then there were these solos that, wow, they kind of made sense to me. So then I thought, well, hey, if this is jazz, then maybe I do like jazz. So I went to the record store back when they had those and asked a guy. I said, I'm learning jazz guitar, and I want to know who should I listen to. And he gave me a George Benson record. And that just changed everything.
It's so much... to listen to, it's interesting, wonderful.
Yeah.
But how about a tune?
Okay.
How about maybe an Ellington tune?
Sounds good.
You must have learned along the way.
Yeah. I think I can pull up one. You want to do that one? How about Squeeze Me?
Oh, that's a great tune. I like that a lot. I liked everything Duke did, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. All right, let's
so
do it.
So shall we wail a couple of choruses?
Let's do it. Thank you.
Gosh, I feel so good playing piano and guitar. I don't get to do that very often.
No,
it was so nice.
Good.
How do you get your repertoire of tunes? I notice you've got so many different kinds of tunes on your record.
Yeah, well, some of the way that I choose is just from personal experience. Probably all of my choices are based on that. But I think what you're leading to are the songs that don't necessarily seem normal in jazz circles, you know, the pop songs and the TV themes and things like that. So because music was so close to me and still is, you know, sometimes I just have a reverie and I'll think of a song and realize that there's some substance to the song melodically and harmonically and something that maybe I can do with it. Like the one that comes to mind is that Little Rascals theme that I did on a recent recording. And something happened during the day. I think I saw a dog that looked like Petey from our gang.
Oh.
And so that kind of jogged my memory. I started humming the theme and thought, wait a minute, you know, this is a great melody. And I went home and I started playing it and saw that the changes were quite nice. And I thought, man, this is a good, you know, a lot of times those songs, there's so many great songs, but sometimes they don't work on the instrument, on the guitar, you know, they just, so I have to find the ones that fit the sound of the instrument and that I can actually sing on the instrument. So that was one that actually that worked. And
well, how did you get hold of that Charlie Chaplin tune, Smile?
Well, I think that's just one that's in the American Songbook.
Oh,
so,
is it?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, I just it's not something that I remember hearing on the radio or anything. It's just been a part of the backdrop of life. So it's just one I just started playing and kept playing over time and decided I wanted to include it in this in this program of that particular record. It's just a
well, we should play one. That tune.
Let's play Smile.
Well, let's smile.
All right.
Such a beautiful tune.
One of my favorites.
I'm glad you were able to include it.
Yes, me too.
You know, it's a shame, but we've got to end the show.
Well, all good things.
We've got to wind up with something flashy.
Yeah, so let's do something
about Charlie Parker. Tune?
Yeah, yeah. You want to do Donna Lee?
Oh, I'd love to.
All right, let's do it.
One. 2, 1, 2, 3.
the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Thank you.